Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Hello, everyone, and thank you for connecting with me today on To Empower You. I am your host, Thomas A. DeLoach. I'm so excited because I get an opportunity today to spend a little bit of time with you on this podcast. On today's show, I'm giving the conclusion of a threefold cord called marriage covenant. On last week, I gave you five principles on how to have a covenant marriage. And I'm going to give you five more, which will complete the list. But I want to start out in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. And if you can take some copious notes, that would be great. If not, listen in and take some notes later, because I got a couple of more jewels I want to drop on you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, or you could say, and the marriage bed kept pure. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. It is important to know that marriage is honorable. It's great. It's profound. It's excellent to be able to find somebody that you click with, somebody that you want to spend your life with, somebody that you want to be friends with, companions with. I said on last week that marriage is ministry. It is great to be able to minister to somebody, but more importantly, for them to minister back to you. So marriage is great. I know people are getting divorced all the time, but I want you to know that your marriage can thrive and be great and be excellent and really give great glory to God for what He wants to do in your marriage. So marriage is an honorable thing. But if I could give a contextual summary about this in Hebrews chapter 13, you would need to read the first six verses because it contains practical, real-world instructions for Christian believers. These mirror some of the more common themes in the New Testament, like brotherly love, hospitality, care for the abused, sexual morality, and contentment are all commended. But the writer ties the ability to be content and faithful, to trust God, to trust Christ, to be there with us and for us in all of our circumstances. It's important to note that this particular verse presents another common teaching of the New Testament, the critical importance of sexual purity. In the modern world, sexual sins are often brushed aside as mirrored or irrelevant history. However, it's important to know that sex and its consequences are a powerful force in a person's life, and few urges are as universal as sex. And so it is crucial for believers to maintain a godly, healthy approach to sexuality. This includes fidelity within the marriage as well as abstaining from sex until a person is married. And I know that's difficult today because the flesh is on fire. What you see, you want. But I want you to know this has to be a work of the Holy Spirit to cause discipline in your life to be able to do what you need to do, especially for those that are looking to get married and want to get married. That's a wonderful thing, but I'm praying that you can keep yourself and keep yourself focused on God and focused on Christ, other activities as well. As long as you got something to do, getting focused on your purpose, on your destiny, until that spouse comes, until that mate comes that God has for you, is a good practice on a day-to-day basis. But as it relates to those that are married, I think it's important to say that God wants to take your marriage to the next level. Wherever you are in your marriage, God wants to take you higher. He wants to push you higher. He wants to help you to understand and know that I've got more that I want to do through you and through your spouse. If you can come together and see what it is that I want to do through you and for you. So let me give you the conclusion of the matter. I gave you number five on last week, and we talked about guarding your marriage. So I want to start this off with number six, and that is, remember that physical intimacy is an important part of your relationship. That's number six, remembering that physical intimacy is an important part of your relationship. And you may say, yeah, I know that already. Who doesn't know that physical intimacy and having sex and coming together, making love with my wife is a good thing, or my husband is a good thing? But I want you to see this in a different way. I want you to see that intimacy is just not sex alone. Intimacy is being able to connect at a deeper level, I would say, at a soulish level, where the mind is coming together, the will is coming together, the emotions is coming together with your spouse, that you are so connected mentally with them, that you are connected on an emotional level, that your will, as it were, is intertwined with God's will and His purpose for marriage. I do believe that if only sex is keeping you together, it's going to be trouble, because, you know, as you get older, that drive is not like it was when you were young. But if you can learn how to connect with your mate on a soulish level, that soul tie, I know soul ties have been given a bad name, but if in fact I'm connected with my soul mate, God doesn't have a problem with me connecting and tying our union together. Because remember, He is that cord, that last strand, that threefold cord that cannot be broken. And so we've got to learn how to connect with our spouses from a mental level. Can you inspire your spouse mentally? Do you know how to talk to them? Do you know what makes them upset? Do you know what causes joy in their heart? Do you know what they're thinking? Sometimes in marriage, everything doesn't need to be communicated. If you're really connected up and synced up with your spouse, you don't even need them to tell you. You're so connected at that level that you can tell and feel when things are not right. You know when things can get better. You know when they are overjoyed without them saying anything to you, without them even smiling or giving a gesture. This is what I'm talking about when we say intimacy. I call it into me see. Can you see me? Do you understand me? Do you know me? The Bible talks about that in relationships. You got to know the person that you are with. So you got to spend some time knowing them, developing that relationship with them, not just on a sexual level, because we know that is important in marriage, but really taking that time to understand and really get a revelation of the person that you're with. If you don't do that, you're going to take them for granted. And we got a lot of married people. They take each other for granted. They just say, hey, they're going to be around. But I want you to know your marriage is a gift from God. When God released that woman to you or that man to you, this is just not some ordinary thing, but this is a gift from God and should be treated as such. And God is not going to develop that tie with your spouse. This is something that you've got to be able to discern, detect, and pick up and put the work in to know the person that you are with and know when they're changing and know when they need something in the marriage that is not there. You've got to be able to know. And if you can spend some time with God, He can help you to understand and figure these things out. So it's important to know your spouse at that soulish level, that deep level. So keep your private time together as exciting and pleasurable. We talked about date night. We talked about other times that you can connect on last week when I was mentioning and saying how it's important that after you have married that person, you got to keep the fire going. So keep that private time hallowed, man. Keep that private time sacred, because when kids come into play and job and work and schedules are building, you got to protect that thing and guard it and keep it pleasurable. You can read the book of the Song of Solomon, because it gives certain things about what he was talking about in just spending time together and loving on one another and doing all of those necessary things. Man, marriage is work, but if you can keep this privacy, this intimacy, and work at another level, I do believe you're going to begin to be blessed like never before. Number seven is allow room for growth. Yeah, you got to allow some room for growth, because the reality is who you marry in today, they're going to grow. You want them to grow because growth demands change. They are going to change. And sometimes people can't stay together because one person is growing while the other person has stayed stagnant. But I don't want that to be for you. I want you to understand that growth is going to happen. So for you individually, you need to grow, but you need to give your mate some space and some grace and some mercy to grow, which means that they're going to make some mistakes. I know we know that in theory, but when we start to experience it, we mad, we upset. We just can't believe that they did this or they did that. If you marry for the first time, trust me, you gonna make a lot of mistakes because you don't know what you don't know. But if you can really have the heart of God and say, you know what, whatever my spouse is when we got married the first few years, I'm going to allow them to grow and evolve into the person I've been praying for, believing God for, because that's just not going to happen on day one. It's just not going to happen in the first year. The first 3 or 4 years, it takes time to grow. It's like a little baby. When they come out, they can't walk, they can't talk. But as those days turn into weeks, those weeks into months, those months into years, you see different phases of your child. They don't look like they did when they were a baby. And so as you get married, understand, get this revelation that you need to allow your marriage to grow. You need to allow your husband to grow and make mistakes. You need to allow for your wife to grow and make mistakes, because they will do that. And if you can have mercy, if you can provide grace and space, then you can receive it. Whatever you give to somebody, it's the law of reciprocity. Whatever you give will come back to you. So I want you to be real in this time. Don't be fake. Don't be phony. Don't have lofty expectations, but be real about the situation. We got two people coming together that's never been together, that's never lived together, that really don't know what marriage is about. So be real about this and be willing to change. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, because he's the change agent. He's the one that can help you to change. You can't change in and of yourself. We've tried it and failed. We may have done well for a couple of weeks, but we revert back to something that we don't want. But the Holy Ghost is there. The Holy Spirit is there to help you to change and make that change lasting. And again, be willing to forgive, because there's going to be some things that's going to happen, and you just gonna have to forgive. The moment you stop forgiving, you just injected cancer into your marriage. I want you to hear that again. The moment you stop forgiving, you've injected a cancer there. Because you gotta understand, man, things are not going to be the way you thought that they were. I've heard people say this to me ad nauseum after they got married. I thought it was gonna be this way. I thought it was gonna be that way. And reality sets in. But that's okay. But don't you kill the marriage by injecting cancers and poisons into your marriage because you are unwilling to forgive and let go. I believe God puts us in these relationships as we come together with our spouses so we can learn what real forgiveness is. Because you'd be surprised if people are holding on to grudges and holding on to something someone said 5 years ago or 3 weeks ago or 2 months ago. That's nonsense. We've got to grow up. Get the revelation. We got to grow up, not down. We got to grow up. And when we grow up, we can allow room for growth. That's number 7. Number 8, cultivate a servant's heart. This is so important that we cultivate a servant's heart, because again, marriage is ministry. So if you know you are unwilling to serve your spouse, if you know you selfish and stuck on yourself and high-minded and heady and you want your time for you alone, don't mess up somebody's life getting married to them pretending that you're going to serve and you know you're not. So I want you to understand that you've got to have a heart of a servant, and you can't buy that at the store. You can't buy that on Amazon. There's no such thing as buying something. You got to spend some time with God and let him invade your heart and put in you the will and the do of his good pleasure. And if you do, you can become a servant. But I also want to say this. You've got to cultivate it like a farmer does. When a farmer wants to grow any kind of crop, he realizes that the ground there might be rocky. It might be tough, but he's got to toil that ground. He's got to dig up those rocks. He's got to cultivate that ground, get that earth ready and pliable and moist so that when that seed goes in there, that seed is not having competition with rocky soil. And sometimes we have in competition because our soil is just too rocky, but we've got to cultivate it. I want you to say this after me. I will cultivate my own heart. Yeah, say it again. I will cultivate my own heart because this is your heart. God is not going to cultivate your heart for you. Yeah, he will through the power of the Holy Spirit help you to do it, but he's not going to do what he's asked you to do. You got to cultivate the ground of your heart and become a servant. This, in my opinion, was Jesus's number one reason why he was so great, because he was a servant, man. He always had the servant towel on, the apron on. Always ready and willing to serve. Are you ready and willing to serve your spouse? The one that you said God gave you. The one that you said is the one. It's funny how people say, I thought they were the one because they did something you didn't like. But regardless of that, when they do something you don't like, you gotta serve them anyway. And this is why you've got to cultivate your own heart. This is why you gotta cultivate your own life, because you can't give away something that you don't have yourself. So serve your spouse in the good times, in the bad times, in times where it's indifferent, when you're not as passionate as you once were. I believe when you serve, you'll be able to see something about your spouse you didn't see before. You'll be able to understand and know something and have revelation on something that you didn't have before. But it's not going to happen until you serve. So serve your spouse as you wish you would want to be served. That's what you got to do. Serve them like you want something. And I can guarantee you again, that law of reciprocity will come right back at you. Whatever you sow, you will reap. I guarantee it. So cultivate, work on that thing every day. Get that servant's heart. Say, you know what? I'm going to work on serving my spouse. I'm going to work on loving them. I'm going to work on forgiving them. Whatever they need, by the Spirit of God, hallelujah, by the power of his word, I'm going to be able to do that. And every day, I'm not going to focus on what I need, because again, this is where you got to trust God. You got to know whatever you do, at some point, it's going to come back to you. So cultivate a servant's heart and watch God do some profound things. That's number eight. Number nine, surround yourself with godly influences. This is so important that after you get married, you got to realize it's so important that you are around people that are going where you want to go in the marriage. And sometimes I lament the fact that people get married and they want to hold on to their single friends. I'm not saying you can't have single friends, but I'm saying you need more married friends and married couples than you do single friends. As a matter of fact, you need a marriage mentor, somebody who can walk alongside the both of you and impart to the husband how to be one. To impart to the wife how to be a wife and a mother. You don't know what you don't know. And somebody that's been married a long time can help you not jump in the same ditches that they did. They can steer you, guide you, pray for you, impart to you, encourage you, correct you, rebuke you if need be, because they know something about marriage that you don't know. And many people get married and they just are out there by themselves. But I'm saying this to you. You need somebody who can impart to you, young married couples. You need somebody who can steer you in the right direction. You need a marriage mentor. So I want to encourage you to begin to pray and look out from where you are to see who God would send in your life to really undergird you in prayer. Somebody who will take you again under your wing, because they want to see you fly. They want to see you soar. They want to see you become all that your marriage really is designed and destined by God to be. So I think it's important that you surround yourself with some godly influences. So when we say influences, what we mean is this person has the capacity to have an effect on your character. They have the ability to develop you. They have the profound knack to be able to, through their encouragement and modeling before you, they can help your behavior go to the next level. Somebody that you want to be like, they can influence you. Where you may be hard-headed on a subject, where you just don't want to bend and give in and say, hey, it was me, I messed up. That godly influence in your life can break you down and help you to see, this is what I could have done better. This is what he was really trying to say to me. You really need an influencer in your life. One way to find one of these is to attend church regularly and be a part of a church, because God has somebody in that fellowship, somebody in the body of Christ through your church attendance that can bring these things to you. Another thing that you can do is invest in media, in books that strengthen your relationships with God and your spouse. Remember, I said on last week that you've got to make an investment in your marriage. If you are unwilling to make an investment in a book or a CD or even going to a marriage conference, I don't know how serious you are about marriage. You just can't get married today and refuse to do something 3 months from now, a year from now. You have got to read books. You've got to keep yourself fresh. Why? Because you're changing, your spouse is changing. So you need information. Feed yourself the word of God, but also feed yourself books, feed yourself conferences, go to marriage conferences. It don't matter. It may cost both of y'all $200, $300 to go, but it will be well worth your investment. I do believe that people who make an investment in their marriage, they have a more long-lasting and fulfilling marriage, because you need tools all the time. You need to refresh yourself on the importance of sacrifice and loving and forgiving and working together in concert to make this marriage what you want it to be. All right? So only allow things in your soul that promote faithfulness to God and your spouse. Don't let everybody get into your soulish space. Don't let everybody get into your mind. Don't let people plant things against your spouse, because there are a lot of messages out there. And when you're upset and when you're frustrated, you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your spirit. I believe the Bible says out of it flows the issues of life. Sometimes we don't realize how things got there. This is why when you are upset and angry, just don't run to a friend. Just don't run to the gossip corner. Just don't run to the TV. You got to guard your ears, your eyes. You got to guard your spirit, because things will creep in and hinder the love that you have for your spouse. So if you will allow yourself to hear the right things and be around the right people that will promote faithfulness, that will promote the God in you, that will help you to see your wife or your husband at a level, at a realm, and keep that respect there. Keep that love there, because there are enemies to your marriage. You got to guard this thing. If you don't, it's going to go south on you. And I mean really quick. So make sure that you surround yourself with godly influences. And then number 10, I want to give you this. Don't quit. Don't give up on your marriage. I think that's so key. Don't quit. Don't give up on your marriage, because it's worth fighting for. The person that you said, I do too, it's worth fighting for. The enemy, again, is going to come in. He's going to try you. He's going to use people on your job. He's going to use people everywhere to try to spoil the good thing that your marriage can become. But I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to throw in the towel on your spouse. I want you to take some time and pray for them. How often do you pray for your spouse? How often do you call their name out in prayer? I mean, really, you know your level of prayer. You know if you're really, really praying for your spouse. Don't complain about something that you have not prayed about. Lift them up before the Lord because they are being attacked too in their mind, their will, their emotion. There are a lot of things going on in this world. There are a lot of distractions. People are frustrated all the time. You have got to pray for your spouse. Don't quit. Don't give up. The moment you give up, you don't know. Breakthrough could have been right down the road for you. Breakthrough was right around the corner for you. So don't quit. Don't give up. And another thing I want to say is ban this word called divorce. Don't let that come out of your mouth. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard because we make mistakes. We just get upset and we just say, I'm done. I'm going to divorce you. But remember, words have power. And so you don't want to prophesy your own doom. If you're going to say something that's going to build the marriage up. One of the things that my wife and I said to each other 25 years ago, we said divorce is not an option. Now, that does not mean we didn't think about it. That does not mean the enemy didn't try to come in and deceive us to tear our own marriage up. But I want you to know we have stayed together this long by the grace of God because we said it's just not going to be an option. And we didn't always see the right thing in people that were around us who were married longer than we were. But we had to realize God was our best advocate and really helping one another build what we wanted in that marriage was key too. So you got to watch what you say. What you say has the ability to come to pass in your life. So I'm going to pray for your marriage that even now that God will strengthen it, that he would help you to guard your tongue, that he would empower you by the Spirit of God, that he would help you to see what your marriage can become and use your mouth to water your marriage. Use your mouth to push your marriage, encourage your marriage, to provide that safety and security. See the best in one another. Watch what you say. Again, don't quit. Don't give up on the marriage and ban this word called divorce. All right? Listen, I know that things may be tough for you. Things may be hard for you. Things may be difficult for you in your marriage. And you're dealing with a man and a woman in the confines of your home. And you're just trying to figure out what should you do? How can you get there? Here's what I want you to know, that God has a way that you have not considered. But I want you to take some time and spend with the Holy Spirit because he wants to touch your heart again for your mate. Even if your marriage is great, he wants to touch your heart again and show you something you have not seen before to pull the scales off of your eyes. Because the longer you've been together, you think you don't have to grow anymore. You settle. You think everything is good. But I want to push you today. I want to coach you today. I want to help you to see that there's something inside of your wife. There's something inside of your husband that they don't see. But I want you to see that about them. And through the power of God, he's going to give you the strength to minister to them and say, hey, honey, did you know you're this? Or did you know that God showed me you are that? And when you begin to water that anointing on their life, when you begin to speak truth to power and help them to see something that they couldn't see about themselves, something happens in their heart, something happens in their spirit. And so continue to love one another and care for one another and bless one another and help one another. Two are, trust me, they are better than one. And so I really pray and I really hope that these 10 things that I gave you over the last 2 weeks was something that you can put in your toolbox, because I'm trusting God that he has allowed me to say something to you to build you, to help you, to get you where you need to be. Get centered again in your own personal walk, but then give something through that centering to your marriage. All right. Praise God. Listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to my website, thomasadeloach.com. Go there. I have an email subscriber box right there on that landing page. Give me your email and click the send button, and I want to send you 7 principles to a biblical success report. Do that for me. Also, I've said this on all of my shows, email me because I want to know that these shows are being a blessing to you. Maybe you can share something with me that you want me to talk about, that you want me to discuss. Send me that email today. Give me your email through that subscriber box and then email me and let me know what's up. You can email me at info@thomasadeloach.com. That's info@thomasadeloach.com. Listen, I'm praying for you, believing the best about what God has inside of you. Your future is bright. Your marriage is bright. So I want you guys to have a great week, a great time, wherever you are, on whatever side of the world you are on. Know that God is on your side. I'm praying for you. I'm believing in you. Until next time, be blessed and peace to the family. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to my show, To Empower You. If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged, please send me a praise report, prayer requests, or show ideas to info@thomasadeloach.com. And follow me on Facebook @Dr. Thomas A. Deloach. Until next time, be empowered.